Welcome to the 49ers Now podcast with LNBP and Asher Roth. We do still exist, ladies and gentlemen. We apologize for our long hiatus. Fellas, say hello and apologize to our limited fan base.
What's up to my family and maybe two friends who are listening? And
And then all the Asher
I
Roth
should
fans.
apologize. I should apologize more than Asher and BP when we started losing last season. I turned off my cell phone and went to hiding. So that was my bad for no podcast past about week 10.
And I also think we all need to pour out a little liquor for the Who's Got It Better Than Us intro that died a quiet death.
Pour it out.
Yeah.
Pour it out. Out all my family and friends and all 49ers faithful out there.
Yeah, thanks for sticking with us. So we thought we'd try and be a little bit more organized this season. One, we're gonna actually record every week, and two, we're gonna add a little structure, and we're gonna kick it off with a hip hop comparables segment. And so this week we thought we'd try and rehash some of the crazy off season. Al, I think you sent me a meme or whatever you want to call it of all the people who've left the team, and it literally looks like, a full NFL roster. It's kind of
Yeah.
disconcerting, but
Not only that, it's a freaking all-star team. Yeah, it's insane. I'll start it off with the first comparable. I think our off-season was like Death Row Records mid-90s when in one foul swoop they lost Tupac, Dr. Dre, Snoop, Nate Dogg, Corrupt, and Daz. That was like our off-season. We lost Alden, P. Willie, Justin Smith, Borland, Andy Lee, King Crab, Holy Gore, Upati, the list goes on. So that's
who, bro? Who's Dr. Dre? Who's Dr. Dre?
I would say Dre has got to be P. Willie. I would respect that. I respect. And who's Alden? Is Alden Eazy-E?
Well, Alden is actually my direct hip hop comparable for Alden is Shine. Because they've got amazing talent, but they just absolutely blow it off the field.
I feel like Dre has to be Borland because he like had everything and just peaced out. He's like, I don't want anything. Keep the money. I'm keeping my sanity. I'm out of this bitch. I mean, that's
Yeah,
basically.
Borland would have been Dre if he had gone from like the Niners to the Cowboys and then blown up again. You
Or
know what I mean?
you mean to
He just
like,
quit.
or to like the commissioner of the league or something.
Yeah.
So who's Chris Culver?
Culver, I would say, would be Daz, because he's
I
got
like
as
that.
much
I was
as
gonna say Daz too, man. Underrated.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So the thing that first popped into my head, and it's less an external representation of what was going on and more an internalization of how brutal it was straight out the slums of Shaolin. Somebody sold my for the to keep a PC butthole shut and kept feeding me and feeding me, and it felt worse and worse. At first I was just like, oh, I gotta eat a little bit, and then like you gotta keep eating. The news every day, it was like, this isn't gonna stop. Like, what am I gonna do?
Phil Pizzle, after one episode, you have officially been banned from the hip hop comparable segment.
Tell me
Effective today, no more hip hop comparables for you.
Wait, I'm into this. Don't listen to L. I'm into it.
Seriously, how miserable was it? Yeah, I'm surprised Elliot wasn't on the Golden Gate Bridge, like
No.
considering
Listen,
jumping. It
I
was
will say this.
you were
Everything that happened, I try and compartmentalize, right? So I'm like, all right, we lost P. Willie, but we still got Borland. Then we lose Borland, and then it just snowballs, right? But the straw that broke the camel's back for me was Alden. When that Alden thing went down, I mean, I lost my mind for about an hour. I
Yeah.
couldn't believe. I mean, it's just it couldn't get any.
And
You know, right? Every
now,
single time you're saying it can't get any worse, and then it does.
yeah. Well, see, here's what's interesting from my standpoint. One, Alden's over there in Raiders Nation, which doesn't make it makes the perfect sense. It just makes perfect sense that Alden Smith would go join the Raiders and could possibly be playing on Sunday. So
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that. But Elle, I'm going to take your side on this and say that this is very Death Row with a tyrannical, like, very dictatorship at the top that's saying this is how it's going to go, and a couple people saying, you know what, fuck this. I'm out of here. I'm not going to do this. I still can't tell who that tyrant is. Is it Jed?
Well, no. Ash, that's a perfect segue, though, because I don't – well, first of all, I think it's York. I think Balky's no good either, but I think it's York. But I don't think that York is Suge Knight by any means. I think York is Jerry Heller because he had a classic crew and he destroyed that crew single-handedly.
Wow.
Yeah. What's the name of the dude who ran the recording studio?
I would say
– and didn't have a fucking clue?
I would say Ed York is Suge Knight, and I would say that Trent Baalke is Heller, who's trying to come off as like the players, you know, I know what I'm doing. I've been in the game.
Yeah.
You know, I've been around it for a while. And, you know, he's trying to be like buddy. But really at the end of the day, man, he's kind of, he's pushing out, you know, guys who for the most part just want to do it the right way, you know, want to play football, you know, not so much turn it into a business.
So who's Harbaugh, the creative genius that basically alienates himself?
Yeah, man, Harbaugh is Dr. Dre.
Pushes everyone around him away.
Even though
he's a genius.
He did lose to Utah opening week. But we'll see what happens next year when he has this whole recruit.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan's roster was pretty terrible to start with, so.
Yeah, you got to give him a couple of years to bring in.
Once he gets his M&M at quarterback, it's a wrap.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, he'll put it together after he gets a couple of his own classes. I mean, the guy's a genius. I mean, we're going to get to Harbaugh in a second. Let me give you guys a couple more hip-hop comparables real quick. I think the Haim train is Fetty Wap because no one knows if he's the real deal yet or just, you know, a flash in the pan.
And my last one,
I think Andy Lee is Nate Dogg because he only does one thing, but he's the absolute best at that one thing.
Too soon.
Yeah,
I feel you. But I mean, look, special teams is extremely important. You know what? You win me over. My initial response to that is, you know, Nate Dogg deserves a lot more credit than Andy Lee. But then you realize how important field positioning and special teams is to a football team, and I would say that Nate Dogg is absolutely part of a dominant special teams for a group. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, dude, Andy Lee, you knew – it was money in the bank every time. And you know, dude, I could put out a song, and if I have Nate Dogg on the hook, that's going to be a hit.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
You're right.
He hit every single time.
You're right.
So that's where we are for hip-hop comparables, unless
yeah.
you guys have some other ones.
No, and I was just going to say, and that sort of leaves us, or at least me personally, the off-season with this empty feeling. Essentially, everyone I know who knows we recorded a podcast is like, so you guys aren't doing this anymore, right? Because you're about to have a horrible season or whatever. And I was like, honestly, it's all up to Cats. We'll see. But he swears we're doing it, and alas, here we are. So.
Are you kidding me? This is when you need us.
Yeah, this is the therapy.
This is when we thrive.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a little bit about the off-season departures. We don't want to get too depressed talking about it, but you know, let's just go person by person, right? I guess let's start with Harbaugh. My 20-second take, which should not shock anyone, is that was the worst move in the history of sports. I think Harbaugh is an absolute genius. The one thing that I will say is everyone was pissed when they hired Tom Sula. I'm not mad at the hiring of Tom Sula. It doesn't make any sense to me that in a million years we would ever let Harbaugh go, but the jury is still out on Tom Sula. Maybe Tom Sula is a great coach. We don't know. But the fact that they had the guy and they let him go, that's ludicrous.
So was this like the most difficult breakup for you, Elliot? Second most in your life? I know this had to be difficult.
I was in a bad place.
Were you eating ice cream, like curled up in a blanket for 2 weeks?
It was not good. It was not good.
Yo, remember though, let's stay on the side of optimism, and let's recall that Tom Sula was a head coach for one game,
yeah.
I believe, against Arizona, and they dominated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look,
I mean, it was a meaningless game at the end of the season when both teams had nothing
for
to
sure.
play for, but
let's take
he's
out
a player's
let's
coach.
Take out
yeah. People like him a lot. He's a player's coach. And look at the statistics in the NFL. This is why, see, everyone's, well, whatever. My point is, look at the statistics in the NFL. When you're playing for a head coach for the first time, like 90% of the time, you win at least your first game. I'm pitching the Niners in a major way on Monday night.
I don't know, L. You call me pessimist Pizzle, and I always swear that I'm a realist, but you two need to keep bringing optimism this season because, I don't know, I just have to see the first game. Let's see how the first game goes. I don't know what to think. It's just like a big question mark. I've never seen a team go from what we had the last 4 years to what we have now. It's just, there's no way to know what we're going to put out on the
field.
There's
no way to sugarcoat it. You're absolutely right. We lost absolute key superstar players. But why is Belichick one of the greatest coaches ever? Because he's the greatest coach ever?
Because he fucks up everybody's headsets and like records shit on the sidelines.
Well, yeah, that too, because he's a cheater. But also because he has Brady. So here's the thing. If Cap falls, we're going to be good.
Yeah,
if Cap's no good, and maybe it's not even Cap's fault. Maybe it's the fact that we only have half an offensive line. I mean, if the line's not good, we're in trouble. But if Cap can ball, and the one thing I like about Tom Sula is he realizes the one thing that Harbaugh didn't realize. Cap, as a traditional NFL quarterback, is average at absolute best. He's probably below average. But if you let Cap free and let Cap use his athleticism, and if he balls, we're going to be good. And we're going to be way better than people think.
I agree.
So here are my gray areas real quick. To touch upon your offensive line, I'm not feeling this dude, Eric Parra's right tackle. Not down. Not down at all. He was last year for the Buffalo Bills. He was, if not the very last, then the second to last ranked right tackle in all of the NFL. Why they would bring him in as a replacement, I'm not sure. So starting there, Kaepernick, at least just his right side so we can see it coming, sure. We're sure on the left side with Joe Staley, but this Eric Parra's dude, let's watch out for him. My second gray area about Trent Baalke running this squad, he just went 0 for 2012. Not one draft pick in 2012, which is a very important draft for our timetable right now and development of a player. Nobody's on the team. That's a big deal. Anybody can try that off and say, hey, sometimes you miss, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you what, organizations like Patriots and people who are consistently winning, that doesn't happen. You don't go 0 for 2012. That's a problem. And lastly, my issue, Kaepernick needs to take those fucking headphones off when he's doing press conferences, bro. I can't stand a franchise quarterback with a backwards hat that's not on and headphones that he's using as an ornament, as a style thing. Bro, it's time, bro. It's time. Like, I feel you. You're influenced by hip hop. I get it. I get you. You're getting that money from your endorsement deals. But it is time, as a franchise quarterback, take off the backwards hat, take off the headphones, and time to be great. And those are my main concerns going into the 2015-2016. Our right tackle. Our stocking of draft picks and them not sticking around, and Kaepernick's maturity level. Those are my three concerns.
Yeah, and to your Baalke point, I mean, the thing that annoys me the most is I think he's the one, or from what I read, he was the one who basically was like, look, I can't deal with Harbaugh anymore, and York sided with Baalke. And to me, you know, Harbaugh was delivering way more than Baalke was, but – You know,
so
it's hard to draft. Every team has a bad draft year.
Here's
but
my question.
Yo, guys, real quick, Ash, I just figured out who Baalke is. He's Dame Dash. He's not really talented. He's just there, and he gets a lot of the credit, but he didn't do anything.
All right, so here's my question. Is Kaepernick Was he Harbaugh's guy, or is he Trent Baalke's guy? Who drafted Kaepernick?
I think that was Harbaugh.
I think that's Harbaugh's guy. Because
how short is Kaepernick's leash this year?
Oh, I think because of what they're paying him, he's going to have a long leash. Because I think basically,
I think his leash is 10 miles long, given the fact that Blaine Gabbert is his backup.
True.
Yeah, but Blaine Gabbert is a first round draft pick who is a fairly efficient passer.
I mean, Blaine Gabbert's not good.
He's not really proven. I don't know. I would say that he's got an extremely long leash because if he has a bad season, the Niners are going to walk from him, and they don't care then. They're going to go to the draft and try and find another quarterback and walk from his contract because his entire contract's incentive-based, so the Niners can basically cut him. So
you guys have no faith in Blaine Gabbert.
I'm not saying I have no faith. No. I'm just saying I don't know enough to know anything at this point. I would say it's a combination.
I would say I have very little faith in Gabbert, and I have a lot of faith in Cap. If they let him be Cap, I have a lot of faith. The beautiful thing is we have half an offensive line, but if they rush and he has the ability to run, I mean, the biggest downfall is that he could get injured easily being Cap.
What was our mantra, though? Our mantra has always been run, Cap, run. Like, let him run, man.
Yeah, 100%. And I think Tom Sula will. In fact, he said that. And I'm even more believing that fact, given the fact that Cap basically never ran in the offseason. Because that's what teams do now. They're super vanilla, or they do, like, the opposite of their playbook in the preseason. And then first game, boom, they hit you with something that's real. And I'm hoping that's going to be the case here.
So what's next on our list? What do we got to hit?
We have a young Mr. Teddy Bridgewater out of Louisville and the Vikings coming to town. What do you think of that matchup?
I like it. I think it's a good barometer for where we're going to be. We got an upcoming Viking squad with a good run game. Some good weapons with Mike Wallace and Charles Johnson. I think it's going to be a really good barometer on where we stand as a competent football team. What I don't like, just real quickly, is that we're opening up the season with our black jerseys. But that's a whole other thing. Go ahead.
Some terrible jerseys.
Why do we got to put it on national television with the black jerseys, man? Goes against tradition, but go ahead.
I mean, it is kind of a funeral, though, for the last four seasons, so might as well roll out in black.
I guess so.
Well, the good news is that we got Bowman back, and he looks like an absolute beast. So that's positive news. Our secondary, there's a lot of question marks in our secondary. We don't know about those guys yet. Maybe they can ball. We don't know. But the things that we do know the thing that I know for a fact is if Cap balls out, we're going to win this game. If he balls out, we will win this game. If he plays average, even average, we will lose this game. But I think, I think Carlos Tide is going to have a good year. I think Reggie Bush is a big pickup, especially for the short passing game. And I think Torrey Smith is a hell of a pickup, too. I mean, Crabb was never a speed receiver. You know, he found different ways to get open. Torrey Smith can separate. So there are some positives here. Obviously, it's very easy, given a tumultuous offseason, to focus on all the negatives. But I think people are going to see a lot more positive in this game against the Vikings. Primetime game. Guys are going to be pumped up. And this is when our Niners play the best. Our Niners actually play the worst when everyone's like, oh, they're going to be Super Bowl champions. They got this on lock. It's when everyone's talking mess.
We will learn a lot. We're going to learn a lot from week one, for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like the Vikings are good enough on offense to test our defense, but not, they're not the Patriots. They're not Green Bay. So it's a good team to start with. I think that if we get, lit up by Teddy Bridgewater, it's a pretty bad sign, but it's a good first game. It's not a cupcake, but it's not a walk in the park either.
Hey, Teddy's good.
I think Teddy's good too. But there's really two things that have to happen for Kaepernick, which really didn't happen a lot last season. First of all, the line has to at least play average or above average. They have to give him some sort of protection. And even if they don't, if he's allowed to run, he'll make things happen anyways. But even more importantly, last year, with the exception of Bolden, we had no open receivers. You know what I mean? Like, even if you have 6 seconds, if no one's open and they're not letting you run, you have no option. So I think Torrey Smith is going to be a big upgrade in that department. But like Ash said, we'll be able to basically tell, I think, after week one.
So, score projections?
I'm going 24-14 Niners.
Asher? Asher, you there? We leave Asher.
Yeah. I'm going 26-23 Niners.
Man, high scoring. I'm going to say 24-21 Niners. I think it's going to be a close game.
Nice.
It's going to come down to the end.
Fellas, real quick, and then let's wrap it up. NFC predictions. I'm going Seahawks, Niners, Rams. Now, I'm going Seahawks, Niners, Arizona, Rams. And I'm saying both Seahawks and the Niners make playoffs.
I think I want to abstain so you don't lose your shit, but I don't think we make the playoffs, to be honest.
I don't think so either. I think it's going to be a weird year.
I think the Rams might make the playoffs.
I like the Rams if Nick Foles is competent. I know I'm from the city of brotherly love, so we got to watch Nick Foles a lot, and he's a competent quarterback. I know Jeff Fisher is a very competent coach. I put a lot of emphasis on the coaching staff. For instance, if we're talking about broad NFC, I think you might see a real serious turnaround there in Chicago because they've got John Fox, they've got Adam Gase running that offense, and they got Vic Fangio, our FC coordinator, in that defense. They've got a very competent coaching staff. That is my biggest concern. Is Eric Mangini the real deal? Is G Priest, what's his deal? You know what I'm saying? So are we going to be able to game plan? Look, we need to be realistic. Harbaugh was not perfect. We lost a lot of games because of clock management, and that's all on the head coach. Harbaugh had a lot of issues game planning and calling plays. He was a very stubborn coach. Are we going to be able to make second half adjustments, you know, things like that? I do feel like Tom Sula, as much as he's kind of frowned upon right now because he's wet behind the ears and he's green, I do feel like he's going to be able to facilitate and he's going to be able to allow other coaches to do their job, which I think might have been something that wore out the welcome for Harbaugh, where it's like, hey, man, we don't know. You know, we don't know. I don't trust you. Let me call the plays, so on and so forth. So I do think the Niners could surprise a lot of people and beat 10-6, but I think St. Louis, they're going to be too tough. I think that Arizona's only getting better. I think that Bruce Arians is the real deal. And the Seahawks aren't going anywhere. So I think it's going to be a tough year for the Niners. Probably we're floating around 9-7, 7-9, depending on what those games do. But I do think the Niners will be better than people want them to be.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be a tough out. But let's save our season projections until next week when we actually have an idea what we're working with. But I will try and leave on a positive note that I feel like the whole thing, unless this has been sorted out since I checked the news cycle, with Cam Chancellor is an indication of things in Seattle may slowly. I feel like that's always the first indicator when people are trying to hold out for more money that you know, they're going to be running into cap issues. This team, their window is closing really fast, so things might start falling apart in Seattle soon. You know, we had the stuff last year with Vernon Davis, a couple other players holding out for more money, and then they played like crap all year. So I always feel like that's like the first sign that all is not well in Seattle. So that's my one positive note.
All right, fellas. Well, we'll see. Just so you know,
I am predicting 10-6, and I am predicting playoffs, and I'm not holding back on that by any means. And we're gonna play this back.
Surprise!
Our
surprise.
Last part of the season.
The real projection we need to make is: do we hit 10 or 6 podcasts recorded for the year? That's the real question. We got to do every Tuesday on the dot.
I will abstain on that point. I think that's a good point to end before I put my foot in my mouth.